Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we discuss, for the fifth time, how we're dealing with the global coronavirus pandemic, recorded on May 5th, 2022, so be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, on the improv comedy show Whose Line Is It Anyway, allegedly, as of 2018, Wayne Brady had earned the most points at over 50 billion. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Wolfman.
I'm Alex Wayne.
I think, you know, this will be a nice, calm, chill, relaxing one because absolutely nothing has changed in either of our lives in the last 6 months. It will actually be a pretty quick and easy episode. I think, you know, 5 minutes in and out, and then we'll have to figure out something else to talk about, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be, matching with our historical hour-long quarantine episodes.
It'll be a nice quick one, you know?
Exactly.
Nothing's changed. Exactly. Yes, as briefly alluded to just there, this is the fifth in our series of little quarantine check-in episodes, I should have had them pulled up, but I believe that they were called, starting with March 25th, 2020, with Armchair Epidemiologist, and then following that up with Shame Memes, Cocoon Time, and Is She From Canada? And now here we are with number five in our roughly every 6 months check-in on... How are you doing?
Yeah.
Looks right.
I'm doing good.
Sunday, May 1st, 2022, to timestamp, because it'll probably be like a month or two before I edit this and release this.
I'm doing really well, I think. I feel like last time I had kind of said we were in a new pandemic equilibrium, which I feel like I'll say every time, but it really does feel like we're in a new pandemic equilibrium right now. I don't think this is going to be our last episode, but the next one might be, or these will just shift in general into like a 6 month check-in on our lives. I don't know.
I was kind of going to say the same thing, like, because you've been saying that for the last couple of them. And I think I've sort of been begrudgingly agreeing of like, yes, this does feel different, but it has still felt very pandemic with a capital P, even if maybe a less intense version. This is the first time where I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. It could very plausibly be the quote-unquote new normal.
Yeah. This is, like, I feel like there are certainly still a lot of remnants. Like, I still wear masks in the subway. I'm taking a new class right now where we have to wear masks. Like, that's not even that big of a deal for me to consider, like, it being that different, you know?
100%. Yeah, no, that was basically what I was thinking over the last couple of weeks was, like, I'd be surprised if, say, in 2 years... still wearing masks to the grocery store as a personal thing. But even then, that's like...
It's not that big of a difference, though.
It's not that big of a difference. And also, it's a thing where, like, I went to the grocery store twice today. Philly doesn't have a mask mandate anymore. I was one of maybe 20% of people that were wearing masks in that grocery store and stuff like that. So it's like, both are we just in the new normal in the sense that a lot of people have reverted to pre-pandemic behavior almost entirely, but also even the quote-unquote pandemic behavior that's left behind, at least I'm doing, is almost exclusively, okay, I wear masks in public still, but like basically no other part of my behavior is pandemic modified anymore, which is wild as a thing going on, whatever, 2.5 years.
Which actually, that's something that is still, I guess, for me, I think this is also for you as well, technically, of working remote. So my company, they've recently requested everyone to come back into the office 2 to 3 days a week. And I was going to be super concerned about that because I love working from home and it's really beneficial to my acting career and not having to commute an hour or so every day. And then fortunately, thank God, they're like, but the development team programmers, you can stay home.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
Special treatment.
Yes. And like, that's been fantastic. And like, that's going to be something that sticks around that is technically pandemic related, but like that is the new normal. It's just going to be so many, especially software developers, working from home.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. In fact, arguably, maybe that's a good evidence towards the fact that it's like, yeah, this is a new normal in that I literally didn't think about the fact that, oh yeah, I am working remotely and will be working remotely for the foreseeable future. Certainly as long as I continue to work at my current company, I am now officially a permanent remote employee. And that was a thing that I didn't even think about, especially in contrast to having re-listened to some of the earlier episodes and also just a thing that I would say all the time. I was not only I was never anti-remote as a concept, but I was always personally anti, like I wouldn't want to work remote, even to the point of like, I didn't like working from home when that was just a benefit that you could do that X number of times a month at my previous company. And I would only ever do it for cases of, oh, I got to go to the airport, or, oh, I have an errand that I need to run, and like, or, oh, I'm feeling a little bit sick. Those would be contexts where I would work remote under duress. And even in those first couple episodes from whatever, 2 years ago now, it was a lot of like, I don't know, maybe there's some good things about remote, but overall, I don't like it. I think I did literally say in one of them, oh yeah, I definitely would never want to work permanently remote.
Yeah.
Here I am 2 years later. I'm like, yeah, no, totally fine. I would prefer it. In fact, not only do I have no qualms with it, I would much, much rather look for a permanent remote job if I were to leave my current company and go somewhere else. Like that would be maybe not a prerequisite, but it would be definitely the preference.
Interesting. Especially, I feel like your job is a lot more people facing.
Yeah.
Do you find that impacts, I don't know, what you do?
Not a ton, in part because, I've never had the experience of what I think is the, so I'm a product manager. I don't think I've ever had the experience of what would be sort of the ideal product management role, which is working on a single cross-functional, independent, co-located team. I have always either been split between multiple different products or split between, you know, even when I did work in an office, like they would be split between either Chicago and Seattle and California or split between, you know, Chicago and Berlin and London. So I've never had the experience of what I think would be where you'd get the maximum benefit of that. You know, I'd still have to go into Zoom meetings at my desk, even pre-pandemic. So I don't see it as that much of a hindrance to go full remote versus functionally, partially remote.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fair.
But maybe that'd be different if I ever had that like ideal or what is supposed to be the ideal product management experience of. Now, I think the real problems in that, which I don't know if I've discussed on mic before or will continue to discuss on mic, but the real things that would be great about that is more the, like, I just want one team. I just want one team that works on one product and not have to be split between like five different teams all the time, which has not been true at either place that I worked.
That's definitely been something like working remote. My last company was not remote at all. You know, it was nice to be able to go over and talk to my coworker right there about bugs I was having. But now at the same time, it's nice to be able to like, have a bigger discussion in like a Slack channel that like everyone can see for issues and observe what problems are going on instead of having to, we have to have another meeting about what this issue is because these two people know what's going on, but we need to expand this out versus everyone can just read it in a technical space, you know?
Sure.
So this is weird in between of like convenience of turning to your left and like the advantages of having it in a public space.
Yeah, I can see that. I also think neither of the places that I've worked have ever really successfully taken advantage of doing things asynchronously. It is still very much we're working remote, but we're working synchronously remote in that like everything has to happen via fucking meeting or has to happen via a synchronous Slack conversation, as opposed to that like best practice that seems, which I'm interested to hear more about how you guys are doing things, but like those best practices you see from like a Zapier or a Basecamp or a GitHub, where they're like, what you should do is you should write this out as a technical document that you send to people and then you give them a day to look over and leave comments, and like that actually gets you faster than having to make everything be a goddamn meeting.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely in between, you know, like we do need meetings, there is a lot of siloed working on yourself than bringing what you have to the table and, you know, talking about it over Slack and stuff like that, which is nice. But
any other job related things in this last 6 months?
Yeah, I'll talk about my other job, which is how I want to start referring to my acting career now in general.
Okay.
Just like, I feel like things have been slowly coming around and like things are happening, you know? And like
other job, by which you mean world famous podcaster, right?
Yes, world famous podcaster on the A-Dub Club.
Yes, exactly.
Half of the dynamic A-Dub duo. Mm-hmm. That's something that, especially pandemic related, like has changed significantly. I know I wish I had listened to the previous episodes, but I'm pretty sure in like cocoon time, I was probably talking about like, oh, this is a time for me to grow and to build habits and stuff. And I'm sure I've mentioned this before of like pre-pandemic, I felt kind of like I was not really giving it my all towards acting and just kind of under the golden handcuffs of my software job and doing some classes and stuff, but not really pushing as hard as I could have. And like now I feel like I'm really doing stuff. And like I did like 3 or 4 different films to like fill up my reel this past fall and winter. I had my first like lead in a, I guess like an indie short film technically.
Damn.
I got someone of their own like prompting just reached out to me the other day. It was like, hey, I have a show for you to be in a play that I'm doing in June. Actually, I had two plays. One was actually going to be during our high school reunion. So I couldn't do that one, unfortunately. But like, I got a part and like, I'm a, you know, my connections and people who know me are like, hey, you're a good actor. I would love you for this part, you know? And
oh, that rocks.
Yeah.
Both in the sense of like, it's just factually great to have more parts, but then especially there's something really satisfying about that. Like it is coming specifically from building a network of people who are like, yes, you are a talented person that I have seen in previous work or worked with. That like, yes, this is why we want to work with you again or work with you for the first time. Like that rocks.
Very validating for me. That's been amazing. And like, it's weird to think that, I don't know, if just like my self-confidence is a very weird thing for me specifically. Like I feel like sometimes I'm very, like I know like, oh yeah, I'm fucking amazing at this, that, and the other thing. And then other things I feel like I'm really introspective and like I know who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there are those like blind spots for me that are, you know, in either two of those directions that are like, oh, I'm either, I feel like it's most of the time more self-depreciative of like, oh, I'm not as good at this thing as I think that I am or stuff like that. And for acting, that's been something of like, oh, wow, I've really come a long way since like high school and college when I was a good actor too. But like, you know, I'm different now. And that's a very weird thing. I just turned 28 recently and it's a very like weird thing to acknowledge and to see the difference, especially once you become an adult and then like 10 years later, you're like, oh, I'm a different adult than I was 10 years later.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Life is interesting.
Life is interesting. Yeah. That's something that does see, it's an unfortunate threat on my side of like, I do still feel very much in the same creative rut. In my case, it's always been much more hobby focused as opposed to like, you're certainly much more dedicated towards artistic pursuits. As sure. Like you said, well, your other job. But even from the hobby perspective of like, yeah, here you are, year two, still haven't really written anything, still haven't really done music stuff, still haven't really, I guess to some degree, there's been a little bit of outletting in terms of either doing this podcast, in terms of getting more back into cooking or into woodworking or things like sure. that, which I think even that phrasing is selling it a little bit short, but like the stuff that to me in my head is the things that I would have pinned ego on from a creative perspective, writing specifically is like, yeah, no,
yeah.
You know, a few words, a few essays and Substacks here and there, but like, no, yeah. nothing really creative in the 2 years of pandemic, which I don't know. It's kind of a bummer. And yeah, I think, how much of the bummer around it is from still having, like I said before, ego tied up in the idea of writing specifically versus how much is, yeah, no, writing is fun and I like doing it and I thought I was pretty good at it and it would be good to do more of it even from a less egoed perspective. And I don't know.
Yeah. That's something I struggled with for a while, of like trying to turn something from a chore. And like, I have like the two buckets in my head of like, here's work and here's relaxing thing. Mm. And like, it goes in one of those two buckets. And I have feelings about either of those buckets in whatever way, you know? It's like acting is technically work, but I am supposed to enjoy it. And when I start thinking about it that way, then it's like, oh, that's not healthy, you know? And I got to get rid of those buckets in my own head. But
yeah. Yeah. I think we talked something in one of, maybe not even a pandemic episode, but of at least on my side of the lake. And I'm going to create, am I in a creative mode or a consumptive mode? And yeah. Just how often it's like, yep, consumptive.
Yeah, exactly.
That also doesn't help that one of the things that I like doing the most is, well, ooh, okay. Actually,
oh,
maybe this is an unlocking thing. One of the types of consumptive things that I like the most, unsurprisingly, is podcasts. And I'm realizing a lot of the creative things or creative adjacent things that I've been doing over the last couple of years are ones that you can do while you're listening to a podcast, of like cooking, woodworking, cross-stitching, stuff like that, in a way that you certainly can't for writing or even music, because you have to listen to the music.
Yeah.
Huh. Ha. Interesting.
Hey,
maybe
if that works, it works, you know?
Yeah.
That's like, for me, writing, I've been trying to write a comedy routine. I want to try to do stand-up sometime.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, let's dive into
that.
I
never mentioned that before?
No.
Really?
No.
I haven't gotten like too serious about it. I've like wrote some jokes and stuff. Well, so I've been taking a lot of improv courses for the past like 5 or 6 months.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. Well, they're like jam sessions, so like drop-in playtime sort of things versus like actual classes where you're trying to learn, you know?
Okay.
Keeping your skills sharp and, for me, developing skills in general. And then that community, you know, that's just like a comedy community. So I go see a lot of their comedy shows, and I've seen a lot of stand-up recently, and yeah. And it's just been something that's been, you know, I've been starting to watch it, and like, I'm like, I can do that. And also there's a certain level of comedians that they don't have. I have not done it ever, but my arrogant opinion of it is that like they lack a theatricality to it sometimes. Not a theatricality, but there's a certain sense, there's a certain amount of like crowd work and reacting to the crowd. And then there's a certain amount of like, get the fuck over it. Mm. And like, if a joke doesn't land or something, like you gotta push through. And like on a stage, if you tell a funny joke and you don't get the laughs that you wanted to get in your comedy play, like sure, you take a hit, but like you have your lines fucking memorized and you keep going. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Versus like your ego gets deflated and you're like, oh, they didn't find the joke funny. And it's like, no, you're performing on a stage right now. Like, separate yourself a little bit, you know? I think even for me, even having that concept in my head would really change what a comedian would be doing, you know?
Yeah.
As myself, but
I can totally see that.
Yeah. And then also I've started taking up, some like freeform journaling for my anxiety on my therapist's behest. And whenever I happen to be like reading it back to her, if I do, you know, then she's laughing and I'm like, okay. And like, I, when I get my therapist to laugh, I'm like, okay, success, okay, you know?
There
and
you
it's
go.
Like, and I know a genuine laugh from my therapist mm-hmm. versus a fake one.
Yeah. Just a little points tally in the back of your head.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, like that's not my goal to like freeform journal to make my therapist laugh. It just, mm-hmm. it's what happens, you know? It's like, yeah. I feel like I'm a naturally weird, funny person that, mm-hmm. you know.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. That I think can translate to a stage for some stand-up sometime. I just have to go out and fucking do it.
All right. When you've got your type five, definitely send me a link.
No.
Send me a clip.
My first several open mics, I'm just going to be like, I'm going to invite no one to the set at all. Mm-hmm.
The fact that you called it a set.
Is that not accurate?
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant set as in like a set, a play set.
Oh, no, no. Like,
so but yes, no, that's correct. You yeah. See, there I am. you even know of a lingo.
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
I even have some bits already of being like, okay, everyone raise your hand if you're here to support another comedian. You know, people are going to raise their hand. I'm like, okay, now my friends, raise your hand if you're here to support me. And then no one's going to raise their hand. And it's like, that's because I didn't fucking invite them.
Funny.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
Exactly. Great. It's going to be great joke. Okay? Listen, when I'm on stage and this whole crowd, it'll be funnier. Okay?
It's a performance.
yeah.
The comedy comes from performance, and it comes from really like being in tune with the audience, not so much from the words on the page.
You know, maybe that bit about theatricality is all full of shit.
Let's see. What else? What other things have happened in the last 6 months?
Yeah. I moved in with my roommate. Oh, yeah. You moved in with your roommate.
That's true. So one thing I'm sure in comparison to the last 6 months, we definitely both live in the same places. We definitely both still live alone. No changes whatsoever to our living arrangements.
None at all, except I don't. I moved back in with my old roommate. It was great.
Hey, look at that. That's fun. We're in whatever level of specificity
sure.
in terms of neighborhoods. Whereabouts are you guys?
Yeah, I live like pretty close to where I used to live, like still in Prospect Heights-ish area. Yeah, and I moved back in with my old roommate of like two and a half years from the pre-pandemic. And it's been great. I do enjoy living alone a lot. And there are definitely like a couple of moments where I'm like, oh yeah, living alone, like that was nice. But then there are a lot more times when I'm like, oh, I am speaking to someone. I'm not going 3 days without speaking to another human being, which is also nice. It's just nice to, you know, have someone to decompress when you get home and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, turns out similar, though slightly different situation on my side. I no longer live in Chicago. I now live in Philadelphia. Two, moved in with my girlfriend, which is really fun and really rocks. And it's been about a month. And yeah, kind of the best thing ever, which is great. Which is great. That's really fun. Especially now that the cats are starting to not get along per se, but can tolerate being near each other with a minimum amount of hissing and growling and swatting.
That's always what I aim for, minimum amount of hissing.
Yeah. Though we did, we've been keeping them, started by keeping them totally separate for a couple weeks, and then have since let them, you know, open the door and let them sort of free roam for most of the day when we can supervise them. We did, though, this weekend have our first letting them be together unsupervised, in that we forgot when we were going out to dinner on Friday to close the door and separate them. And then we realized when we got back, we looked and we were like, huh, okay, well, it seems like they're fine. So I guess we let them go for 4 hours without anyone watching them. So good job. Good job, us.
That's good. That's good.
But no, Philadelphia's nice. And yeah, I totally co-sign all the same stuff that you were saying around, like, yeah, having someone that, like, okay, at the end of a work day, yeah, be able to decompress with and be able to talk to and be able to be like, oh yeah, here's a person that yeah. So there's the living with another person just in general, that has, yeah, all that same valence that you were talking about, which rocks. Living with your girlfriend is also really great, especially after a year of long distance. And yeah, no, it's been good, and it's been much less 0 to 60 than I would have thought. In the abstract, it just feels sort of like, yeah, it's another different normal progression, but
yeah,
taken as it comes, and it's been pretty wonderful.
That's nice.
And Philly is fun. I like it. I've been here about a month. And yeah, to that earlier point of still working remotely. And so figuring out what's a good routine in the context of learning where the new grocery stores are, the new cafes, all that fun stuff. But yeah, starting to settle in. And finally, what an ordeal it was to get all the car stuff sorted and get driver's license and then get registration and then get parking permit and then get the Pennsylvania has a whole safety inspection thing that you have to do, and finally, I think done now after a month of, I mean, it's probably something that I could have gotten done over the course of like 5 days.
Don't get a car. Problem solved.
I know. Right. Right.
Come to New York, man. It's great.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about sort of general pandemic vibes. We've talked about living situations. We've talked about job situations. We've talked about creative funks in my case. What else is there to discuss in either the world of our personal lives, the world of the global coronavirus pandemic, or the world of the world?
Yeah.
An interesting thing, actually, is I'm trying to think. We didn't really talk about them much in previous episodes, but then I'm trying to like put myself back into the mindset of what was it like when we were recording or thinking about them. But like the fact that we're feeling this sort of like, yeah, what else is there to talk about? And that like so much of even the big things that happen, quote unquote, big things that happen in the world feel very transient and very like,
yeah,
whatever. I mean, the joke of like, oh yeah, Chris Rock at the Oscars was a big thing for 3 days and then moved on. But like,
everything's like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. It feels different in like this specific moment that we are discussing, but I'm wondering if that's just that like we've moved past the other personal stuff that we would have talked about much faster and cleaner than we did 8 months ago. And, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, because we never had these episodes before the pandemic. And since most of it's about the pandemic, and it's like, if we are now kind of in a, like the, this episode versus the episode 6 months ago, right? Like probably pretty, not much has really changed outside of like our personal lives. And like pandemic related, like I was going out to clubs and a concert 6 months ago for sure. That was what, December? Hell yeah. This past summer I was.
Yeah, because even in terms of like the arc of the pandemic and stuff like that, like there was the Omicron wave and it was a discrete, like, okay, sort of returning back into more intense stuff.
Sure.
And there was, you know, then the boosters as a as another thing to add onto your list of like, okay, do the same thing that you do with vaccines, but again, 6 months later. But yeah, it is totally like, okay, Omicron happened and now we're back to where we were 6 months previous. So maybe it'd be a different thing if like, if it happened, if this episode had timed to late December, early to mid January, maybe we would feel less blasé about stuff. But
yeah.
Oh, speaking of late December, early January, I got COVID finally.
Oh shit.
So yeah, that's the fun one. Yeah, I had COVID for a week at the beginning of January.
Wow. Okay.
Which, that was fun. I mean, it sucked. It was bad. But like, but it was, yeah, so I guess I should talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I got me some Omicron. I think I got it from my dad in that he had it a couple days before, or his symptoms showed up a couple days before. No one is allowed to cancel me for any of this, but it was a case of him started feeling a little bit bad. So it was when I was in Seattle, he started feeling a little bit bad a couple days before my flight. He started self-isolating and was like, just in case, but it's going to be a couple days before I can, or I'm going to get a test, but it'll be a few days before I can get results.
Yeah.
And then his positive test result did come while I was in the air flying back to Chicago. And then I started feeling symptoms the day after that. So very much clearly did fly on a plane while I had COVID. But whatever, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to beat myself up over that. And also, because I'd left my cat back behind, like the fact of the idea of having to add 2 more weeks onto being out there and like get another cat sitter for an extra bonus 2 weeks while I was sick with COVID would be bad. So I'm much more happy that it, like, at least I was hanging out alone, chez moi, without having to worry about any further travel than if it had been the other way around. But yeah, no, it sucked. It was bad. It was a it felt like a bad flu, and definitely like laid me out for at least 2 to 3 days.
Oof,
but it was like I could still do stuff, but just like felt very, very crummy. And then eventually got over it. But yeah, even the rapid test, like it came back, like the rapid tests were saying, like, yes, you have you've got a little bit of the COVID. So
shit. I'm pretty sure I got COVID over December when I was home for Christmas, but like the lines to get a test were like 2 or 3 hours in the snow. So I was just like, okay, I guess I'll just pretend I have a positive confirmation and do what I do with that, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I had like a light sickness that just lasted a bit longer and like had some COVID symptoms specifically. It was very nice for me, or light for me, but
yeah. Yeah, me, I mean, definitely sore throat, definitely, like, headache. I'm trying to remember. I think I was sniffly for some of it. A lot of aches. Yeah, it felt flu-like, yeah. Was most of it. I didn't really have any, didn't have the loss of smell, and didn't really have any shortness of breath. But apparently that's a thing where it's, like, the Omicron version had less of that than Delta and whatever were the other ones previous.
Yeah.
All intents. But yeah, no, never got. I guess technically my case count never was reported in that. It was just like, great, I took a self-test and then it was bad. And then I was like, great, I'm going to stay at home now.
Yeah.
For a week. Did I work through it? Yes, which was a bad idea. And that was a terrible decision. I shouldn't have done it. But oh well.
No.
Oh well.
It's fine.
One thing that I am curious about is, do we think that waves are going to be a big thing continuing going forward, where there will be another a la here is a discrete 4 to 6 weeks where everyone is freaking out about Omicron. And like you said, testing capacity becomes overloaded. A bunch of people get sick. Is that a thing that will continue to happen going forward in terms of like the epidemiological part of it, of like, will that actually happen? But then also in terms of like, what would be the response to if there was another wave? Like at this point, would another wave be, okay, but we've got COVID pills now and we've got good, and people are vaccinated. And then we just say like, all right, mask up more and expect more. Like I saw that Amazon just today was like, okay, we're going away from, instead of you get mandatory 2 weeks of paid time off if you catch COVID, now you get optional 5 days unpaid time off, or you can use your paid sick time. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds like what they're saying is people are going to start going to work technically infected with COVID, and we're fine with that.
Jesus. I mean, that shouldn't be the case for any disease at all. But ignoring the healthcare hellscape that is corporate America.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause I mean, part of me, and I hate talking like this cause it feels like I'm talking like a COVID denier or something, but like what are the actual numbers compared to the flu? Like if a wave of the flu comes around as it does once a year, what do we do about it? And why shouldn't we treat COVID the same way? When we've, I don't actually know the numbers comparatively. Yeah. Why not treat it like the flu?
I think I'm kind of in the same boat. But the fact that that's our take probably shouldn't be surprising given I think even from the earlier episodes, we've been relatively like, okay, eventually it will reach a steady state and eventually that steady state will be treated the same way we treat most diseases. But it does still feel weird. It does still feel strange, just you know, in a purely emotional state of like, okay, the big scary pandemic thing being a, right, it's COVID season.
Yeah.
Get your shot, call in sick.
Which, you know, I'm kind of fine with that.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll be interesting we kind of talked about it before, but like, yeah, how much of things where their inception came from, oh shit, there's a big scary pandemic. That's why we have to start wearing masks, working remotely, et cetera, et cetera. How much of those ones become either the standard baseline that now new outbreaks are built on top of, specifically the working remotely bit, versus like how much of those become things that are options that we have in our tool belt for how we deal with outbreaks of COVID or other respiratory type things, a la masks.
Yeah.
And hand sanitizer and all that goodness. And
which,
I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. And interesting to see in a increasingly polarized and increasingly fractured world where more and more of the reasonable public health measures are now party line polarized in the US, at least. I can't speak to other countries.
Which, like, I know at least China, maybe other East Asian countries, they definitely wore masks pre-pandemic when you were sick. Or was that because of pollution? I'm not sure. Or both. But just the idea of, like, oh, if you're sick and you're out in public, then you wear a face mask so that you don't get other people sick.
Yeah.
How much will, especially Americans, think about doing that? Not even politically, but just in terms of, like, our individualistic nature versus, group nature of, I feel like, East Asian countries. This is very much generalizing, but... Qualifying statements abound.
Well, and actually one tangentially related to that, especially on the culture front, is it feels like I have seen less of the being over into visible pandemic measures as in-group signaling than I was seeing, 6 months ago or something like that, where it's the like, well, you should still wear your mask even if not, because like otherwise you'll get mistaken for an anti-vaxxer, or because like that's the thing that we do, even if the CDC says you don't want to. Well, now there's conspiracy theories on the left side of like, oh, well, the CDC is only saying that you don't need to wear masks because they're bought out by blah 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 political pressure and whatever. Which may be true, maybe not a conspiracy theory, but whatever. It sort of has the same tenor and tone to the more unreasonable conspiracy theories on the right. But like, I feel like I've seen less of that than I was seeing before. And I wonder if also part of that is that like, I don't remember if I mentioned it on Mike in this episode, but that like, go to the grocery store, and even in liberal Philadelphia, like, okay, I am one of 20% of people that are wearing masks in this grocery store. And like, my assumption is not, it is 80% dyed-in-the-wool conservative anti-maskers and 20% good upright liberals. It's like, okay, the general balance is that people are more just like going back to their normal thing, and then there's some of us who are still feel more comfortable doing wearing the mask. So I don't know. That being said, me seeing myself, I'm on that part of the bell curve of it's different on public transit, where public transit tends to be a little bit more 50-50 or more like 60-40 mask versus not, whereas like grocery store is more I feel more on the narrow edge of the bell curve in terms of maskiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is a good point. When I'm trying to also think back, if summer of 2021, were there points in times where I wasn't wearing masks inside of retail stores or grocery stores?
Summer of 2021?
Yes, because I definitely was doing it through all of 2020. But then summer of 2021, post-vaccine, pre-Delta, was there a period of time there where I was like, because I think at that point I was definitely willing and comfortable enough to like go to restaurants and stuff like that, and was still going to grocery stores. But I'm trying to think, was there a point then where I was like, yeah, I don't need to wear the mask, it's fine. Yeah. Or was it mask all the way through? And part of why I'm thinking about that is to like, I think I've said before, and I still sort of agree that like, I'm probably still going to want to do the mask on airplanes move, maybe forever. I can see a reasonable length of time of wanting to keep doing it on public transit. What is the point at which I'm going to stop wearing a mask at a grocery store?
Yeah.
And I don't
know. For me, I'm definitely like, if I go to my local fancy bodega and I forget my mask, I'll be like, okay, whatever. If I go to my normal bodega, no way. Like, no, I'm not like, no, I don't want to. It's just like, I feel no need. But yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. And also odd now that I'm thinking about it of like, okay, I have no qualms. Again, I guess it's always been the weirdness of like mask mandates in restaurants, where it's you wear your mask for the 5 seconds it takes to walk to the table and then you take it off, or mask mandates in bars where it's for the 5 seconds to get to the bar and then you take it off and stuff like that. So like, there is no real feasible difference between me being totally fine not wearing a mask in a bar versus me. Or I guess the difference is if it's a, like if I'm going to the grocery store, it's usually I'm doing it by myself as just a solo activity of like, it's easy enough to put on the mask and have that be the default.
Sure.
I wonder where is the, there isn't necessarily a real reason to keep doing that. But when will I get to the emotional state where it's like either, And actually, your point, I think, probably the more realistic one is the first time will be the time that I forget to bring the mask. And then when does forget to bring the mask turn into the habit of...
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll
find out someday.
Let's see. So, talked about jobs, talked about living situations, talked about the fact that I got COVID, talked about general weirdness and vibes around how pandemic-y or not things are. What other things are there worth discussing that happened in the last 6 months or would happen in the next 6 months? Because I agree with you. We should do another one of these at minimum.
Yeah.
But
I think feeling the next, yeah, I feel like that we're going to be having the next one and then it'll either no more or it'll be something else. Like it won't be a pandemic check-in anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of am in a similar boat, or rather,
we've said that before. But
we said that one. We've said that before, so giant grain of salt. But two, the thing that I could see making wanting to do, like, no, we need to keep it as a pandemic thing, is if there is some sort of meaningful change and a meaningful change that comes. Like, I can see there being a spike and another wave of some sort. If there's a wave and that wave prompts some notably different thing, or it doesn't turn into a like, oh, now we know how we're going to deal with COVID waves going forward. And to your point, it'll be like basically the way we deal with the flu, maybe flu plus, then I could see that being the case where it's like, okay, we need to, we're still in sort of a pandemic mode. The scary knock on wood version is like, okay, what if we get like a vaccine defeating variant or something like that, which is plausible, if maybe not likely. Like that I could then see being like, oh no, are we back now to a square, not one, but square
negative
1.5?
Yeah. Or worse.
Or worse. Yeah. What if coronaviruses have had their day and now it's whatever other types of viruses?
Yeah. And it's whatever virus is caused by the nuclear fallout from Russia bombing the world.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's a war in Europe right now, which is not great. Not necessarily what you want.
Yeah, society.
Yeah, yeah. There's also, I mean, in a similar sort of a weird political malaise as well right now around like, okay, we're a couple years into JB doing his thing. Not a lot's happened thanks to good old Joey Manch. And I don't know. I'm also being less invested and involved in it than I think I was previously, in part because, one of the nice things about living with someone else and also having moved relatively recently is like, okay, yeah, being busy enough to like not spend all my time just on Twitter, which is good. But
midterms are not going to be pretty.
Yeah. Ugh, not looking forward to that.
No.
Either as a vibe to have to go through, but also the potentially unfortunate results.
Yeah, the polls are not looking good right now. I know it's like 5 months out, but still.
Yeah. What will life be like under one or more branches of Republican government?
Yeah. I mean, we already got the judicial branch under Republican leadership. And arguably the Congress, I'd say. Anyway.
Well, that's society. A lovely cheery note. What other things what are things that you're excited about for the next 6 months?
I'm in a 5 month class right now that's going to culminate in a performance for casting agents and directors and such. Maybe some managers, I think. And hopefully that'll be like a next big step in my career.
Hell yeah. That rocks.
Yeah. That and summertime, you know, I'm just excited for that.
Yeah.
It's gonna be nice.
I agree. Yeah, no, we need to get out to New York again at some point. We went out for the listeners. We went out a couple weeks ago, which was very fun. But Alex was out of town at the time, so we did not get to say hi. But now it's a nice, easy 90-minute train ride. So easy enough to do on your odd weekend.
I would love to come visit you sometime.
Absolutely.
But I have my class at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings.
Ooh.
So I maybe I'd do it on like a Saturday, Sunday, but
sure.
Yeah.
But no, New York's fun and Philly's fun. I'm genuinely, yeah. So similarly, I'm very excited for summer in Philly. And yeah, getting to explore a new city, getting to have the weather be nice.
Yeah. That was definitely something of, I loved in Paris, of just like walking around the city and exploring new places, that I want to try to rediscover New York in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Just kind of go off on my own and discover new parts of Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Totally. No, I could say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What am I excited for? Summer in Philly. Oh, going to Italy in 2 weeks, 4 2 weeks, which will be very, very fun with the whole family. And I've never been before. I think I might be the only one in at least my immediate family that's never been to Italy, which will be nice to visit some ancestral homelands in theory, but mostly eat a lot of good food and wander around in the Italian sunshine.
Get some nice, get some wine, some pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, we've agreed. We're going to do another one of these. Yeah. Maybe it'll be the last one. Maybe not. And maybe it'll be the last one that is pandemic check-in branded. Even if we keep doing more 6 month check-ins, if you would like to tell us how your last 6 months have been, you can always do that at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. You can also do that on Twitter, assuming that Mr. Musk allows us to continue tweeting in the future, unless we tweet in Dogecoin. I don't know. Some Musk joke, whatever. That's at The AW Club. That's at theawclub. You can also visit our website, theadub.club. That's theadub.club, where you can find our topics guide, which is where we have a list of all the different things that we have talked about in various episodes, including some of the series that we've done, like this here, Pandemic Check-In. You can click that link. It will take you to the episodes where that is discussed, so you can find this episode as well as the four previous in this series. You can also find our starter guide, which is a list of, I think, four episodes that we think are particularly good if you want to go check out other ones, or if you want to go tell friends to say, like, hey, start listening to this very good podcast that has so many listeners. You can do that by going to the starter guide. And certainly none of them are about TV shows by canceled, formerly beloved geek icons like Joss Whedon. Absolutely not. With that, I believe that is everything.
A-Dub Club out.
A-Dub Club out. We started watching The Sopranos recently, which is very good. Unsurprisingly, turns out the show that a lot of people say is the best show of all time is very good. And so making a lot of Italian jokes as we go through the trials and tribulations of one Tony Soprano.
I just started watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Ooh, how's that?
It's pretty good. There are some moments when I'm rolling at my eyes at the overly contrived scenarios with which the main character gets herself into comedy routines. That's fine.
Okay. Oh, Avatar Watch. I haven't watched any more Avatar since last time we talked. That's okay. A quick one.
Okay. That's
at some point thing. I'll get back into it.
Sure you will.
Probably. I think so. Have also started watching Cheers, which similarly turns out one of the shows that people say is one of the best shows of all time is very good. Surprise, surprise. But I didn't realize Ted Danson was on it. He's very good.
Yeah. He's like one of the main characters. Right.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other good media things of the last 6 months or of the next 6 months?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And no Blackpink or Taylor Swift albums. What on earth would there be to talk about after the episode?
I had a friend of mine we had a talent show in our class for like, what weird talents do you have to do? And one of her, she did a dance to Girls' Generation. Genie.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
I think it was like directly copied. Like,
yeah. Doing the choreo.
Yeah. Sick. It was very impressive. Well, I think that's about it. If you want to give the thing with the thing.
The thing with the thing.
The big long list of things that I never will remember.
Of course not. Yeah.